Okay, Parshat Yisro. Parshat Yisro is a packed Parsha, ton of stuff going on, primarily the Aseret HaDibros. We've spoken about the Ten Commandments in the past, various aspects of it. Last year, we focused on the verses leading up to the Ten Commandments, the back and forth dialogue between Moshe and the Jewish people in the 5 days or so leading up to it. I want to borrow one discussion from that, which I don't think we touched on last year, and then we'll go into the subsequent verses immediately following the Ten Commandments to see the response that we have right afterwards. So the first thing that I just want to start with is a Ramban. The Ramban comments on a pasuk leading up to the Aseret HaDibros. There's a back and forth of dialogue between Hashem and between Moshe. Moshe goes up the mountain, he goes back down the mountain. 4 or 5 times Moshe goes up and down the mountain, reporting to the people what Hashem wanted him to say, reporting back to Hashem what the people wanted to say. There's this whole dialogue. And amongst the things that is said over there, Hashem says to Moshe the following idea. This is in Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Tes. This is going to be page 402. Come on in. On page 402, one of the things, verse 9, one of the things that Hashem says to Moshe, Hine anoichi bo eilecho ve'av he'onon. I am going to approach you, I'm going to speak to you from the thickness of the cloud. Ba'avur yishmo ha'on bedabri imach. Why am I going to speak to you from a thickness of cloud? Hashem describes the way that he's going to speak to Moshe through this thickness of cloud on page 402. In order that the people should hear when I speak to you, V'gam b'cho ya'aminu li'olam, and that they will also believe in you forever. So one of the messages that Hashem delivers to Moshe to tell the people is that Hashem will speak to Moshe through a thickness of cloud for two reasons. One, that the people should hear, and two, so that they'll always believe in Moshe. Now, the issue that the Ramban, as well as what he's trying to address, what's going on here, is one of the most fundamental tenets in any religion, forget Judaism for that. In religion, religion by definition means a people, human beings, serving something divine. So in our terminology would be us serving Hashem, a creator. Well, in order for us to serve a creator, by definition, if we're going to have that process where we human beings are going to serve and fulfill the will of a creator, what do we need to know?
What's his will?
What does he want from us? Well, how is a creator going to communicate that will to us? How do we know that that which we are doing is in fact that which he wants? He hasn't spoken to any of us, right? 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 We talk to him, but he's not talking back to us. So how do we know? We'll hear and say all the times, this is the will of Hashem, this is what he wants us to do, I'm fulfilling his desire. How do we know that what we have is an accurate transmission? Well, who told us what he wanted?
Moshe
told us what he wanted. How do we know that Moshe, when he tells us what God wants, is giving us an accurate transmission of what God actually wants? There's a lot of faith here. There's a lot of faith, and this is not a light kind of question. Because every single thing that we do is because it's in the Torah. And the Torah that we have is because Moshe gave it to us. And Moshe says over and over and over again, Vayidavir Hashem el Moshe lemor. Hashem spoke to me, to Moshe, saying, and then he teaches us something. That's what he did in the desert for 40 years, wrote it all down, and gave it to us. Now, we witnessed miracles along the way, from the Exodus all the way through, but how do we now know that the Torah that Moshe gives us at the end of the 40 years, when he hands it to us in its completed form, is accurate? That's a serious question. One of the fundamental beliefs, the Rambam writes 13 principles of faith. One of the principles of faith is that Moshe is a true and accurate prophet, because if that's not part of our principle of faith, well then we have nothing. Well, how do we know that? What happened that Moshe had the ability to say that, and that all the people went along with that? Well, the Aseret HaDibros, Maimon Har Sinai, when the Jewish people stood at the foot of Mount Sinai and received these Ten Commandments, this is going to do it. This is going to be a seminal moment in Jewish history, because it's going to bridge that gap that says, how do we get the desire from a divine being into the hands of human beings that we know and trust and believe that what we are being told is an accurate desire of God's will? This is a very fundamental and important point that has to be addressed very clearly. Every religion in the planet has to address this point, and if you're familiar with them, they'll all come up with various approaches to addressing this. So let's go through, as a starting point, this is really not even what I want to talk about, but just as a starting point, one Ramban to start that, and we'll use it as a springboard for the actual discussion that I want to have. So the Pasuk says that we just read in verse Tes, Pasuk 9 here on page 4, so Hashem says, I am going to speak to you from the thickness of cloud so that the people shall hear and they'll believe in you. Says the Ramban, the following comment. What does it mean when the Torah says so that the people shall hear? Says the Ramban, V'yu heim atzmon nevi'im bidvarai. That the people themselves will be prophets in my words. Lo shia aminu mi piachayim. They are not going to believe these words of the Ten Commandments from others. They are going to be prophets on your level, Moshe. They will hear me deliver these commandments to you. And he quotes the Pasuk, Ba'amor Hashem Elai, Va'ashmiyem es divarai l'man yomudu l'ira, they will say, and therefore they will believe in you forever, says the Ramban, because any other prophet or dreamer who will ever stand up and say something against the commandment that I am giving you now, you will be able to say, we heard it. We heard it. Vishama kol asher omar Hashem Elokeinu vishamanu mipicha vasin. We have seen and heard it all ourselves. Says the Ramban, in one line explaining this one verse, that when Hashem comes in the thickness of clouds, that we shall hear, the people actually heard the commandments directly from Hashem to Moshe. So that when they left that scene, it wasn't a matter of, well, Moshe told them the Aseres Hadibros, they heard the Aseres Hadibros. Once you have that validity in Moshe, that was going to change something. Now, let's pocket that for a moment, put that on the table. That's the idea that Ramban says to start. This is the verse that we read, if you flip one page, you'll see, is about two pages before the beginning of the Ten Commandments. This is within the dialogue leading up to the 5 days leading up to the actual giving of the Aseres Hadibros. Within that time period is when this commandment is given. Then we have the Aseres Hadibros. So with that on the table as our background, that's our springboard, that the purpose of the Aseres Hadibros was not only to give over these specific mitzvahs, but to do it in a way where the people heard the voice of Hashem. Now, we can say those words, but if you can imagine what that was like, that's a frightening experience. If you go over, now we went through this last year at length, but if you just quickly go through, the way the Torah describes the scene at the giving of the Torah, it was a frightening scene. Flip to page 404 and 405, just to read it in English to get a sense quickly of what we're talking about. On verse 16, on the third day when it was morning, this is now the day that everybody's waiting for. It's the day that the Torah is going to be given. They've been waiting since the Exodus, 49 days, leading up to this moment. There was thunder and lightning, a heavy cloud on the mountain. The sound of the shofar was powerful. What shofar? There's this shofar blowing sound. There's no one's blowing a shofar, but you're standing at the foot of this mountain, and there's thunder, and there's lightning. There's a shofar in the background. The entire people that was in the camp shuddered. And Moshe brings forth from the camp towards Hashem. And they stood at the bottom of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was smoking because Hashem had descended upon it in the fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of the furnace, and the entire mountain shuddered exceedingly. The sound of the shofar grew continually much stronger. This was a frightening moment. And then they hear Hashem speak to Moshe. That, says the Ramban, is the scene leading up to the Aseres Hadibros. Now, let's fast forward to the end of the Aseres Hadibros. I use that word, as you'll see in a moment, tongue-in-cheek when I say fast forward. But at least chronologically in the way the Torah presents our information, let's flip to the end of the Aseres Hadibros. So let's go to page 412. 412, verse 14, begins the 10th, or the 9th, no, the 10th of the Aseres Hadibros, the end. So we're skipping that because we don't have all day. So we're going to go through, the Ten Commandments are now given, and we're now going to study the three verses immediately following the Aseres Hadibros. Let's just Read him through. V'chol ha, starting with 15. V'chol ha'om royim es hakolos v'es halapidim. The entire people saw the thunder and the flames v'es kol ha'shofar v'es ha'har ha'shein. And they saw the shofar, they heard, they saw actually the sound of the shofar and the smoking mountain. V'yar ha'om v'yanu'u v'yamdu me'rachok. The people saw, trembled, and stood from afar. Torah describes to us in basic English, they saw and were frightened by what they saw. Thunder, lightning, shofar, smoke. And what do? They move back. They all stand afar. They don't want to be near this mountain because this mountain is a frightening place. Vayomru el Moshe. What do they say to Moshe? Daber ato imanu v'nishma'a. You speak to us and we will hear. Ve'al yidaber imanu elokim pen namus. We do not want to hear from God Himself. Why? We'll die. Pen namus. So they say to Moshe, they're at the foot of the mountain, they see the lightning and the thunder and the smoke, and they tremble. They walk, they go backwards, and they say to Moshe, you talk to us. We don't want to hear from God. We're afraid we will die. Vayomer Moshe el ha'om al tiro'u. Moshe says to the people, be not afraid. Now the word nasos is going to be a dispute between Rashi and the Ramban exactly what it means. We'll leave that untranslated. Moshe says, do not be afraid. There's a reason why Hashem has shown it to you. If you're looking at the Art Scroll English, you'll see Rashi's translation, which is in order to elevate you. Don't be afraid. Hashem is doing this to elevate you, to make you something special. There's nothing to be afraid of, says Moshe. In order that His fear shall be on your faces that you don't sin. Because this experience will be so embedded in your beings, in your genetic DNA, that this is what you experienced, it'll keep you on the straight and narrow. So is Moshe saying it's a good thing to be afraid? A bad thing? Was he displeased with them because they were afraid? Was it a wrong response of them? And he says, don't be afraid. He's doing this for your good. He's doing this that you should be exalted, that you should fear Him. Vayamod ha'om me'rachok, but the people stand far. U'moshe nigash el ha'orafel, whereas Moshe approached the thick cloud, asher shom ha'lokim where Hashem was. So let's summarize briefly these last four verses. What took place in these last four verses that we just read? These four verses immediately following, in chronological, meaning in terms of the way that we read them, we just were given the Aseret HaDibros, so now we're giving these four verses. What do these four verses say? Let's summarize them quickly. What happens? Number one. 15. What happens in verse 15?
They saw the thunder and flames.
And what's their response to that? Right? They see, they're frightened, they back away. Next thing that happens, what's Moshe's response to them? Or what do they say in the next verse?
You talk.
Right? Stay away, we don't want this. Moshe's response to them is?
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. And then the final episode, what takes place? Moshe then approaches the cloud. So if we were to summarize the four basic steps of what we have in these psukim following the Aseret HaDibros, people see, are fearful, move away. They ask, we don't want this anymore, you talk. Moshe says, no, don't be afraid. And then Moshe comes forward towards the cloud. That's what takes place. Let's take a look at Moshe's accounting of this story in Sefer Dvarim. You flip to page, and in most of Sefer Dvarim, Moshe goes over, he repeats in his own words the stories which took place previously, and he does that here as well. The Aseret HaDibros are repeated. What's that?
No.
In Veschanan. In Perek Hay. In Perek Hay, in page 970. 968, 970, we'll find the second account of the Aseret HaDibros, in which Moshe recounts the story of the giving of the Aseret HaDibros. What we're going to do right now is engage in the following exercise. We are going to read the verses together that immediately follow the second giving of the Aseret HaDibros. I should say that more accurately. The second telling of the giving of the Aseret HaDibros. although it's not necessarily, they were given the second time, right? Moshe breaks the Luchos and they're given a second time. So they were told the second time here, and Moshe tells us the story of what took place, and we're going to read it and compare it to the four verses that we just read. So if I'll keep your finger on the place that we just read, we're now going to read it. This one is a little bit longer. This is Moshe telling over the story. It's a little bit longer, but we'll read it through, and then we'll open up the floor, and you'll tell me the similarities and differences. So the Ten Commandments end in verse 18, and that is the last on page 970. That's the last of the Ten Commandments. Let's start from verse 19. Es ha-duvorim ha-eila diber Hashem el kol kehalchem bahar. These words Hashem spoke to your entire nation on the mountain. Mitoch ha-esh ha-anon v'ha-arafel. From amidst all of the fire, cloud, and thick cloud. Kol godol v'lo yosof. It was a great voice that was never to be repeated. Vayichtevem al-shnei luchos avanim vayitnei melai. Says Moshe, this is what you heard. It was amidst clouds. It was amidst fire. And he then wrote it down. 20. Vayihi kisham achemes hakol mitoich hachoshech v'hahar bo'er bo'esh. When you heard the voice coming from the darkness and the thickness of cloud and the fire, vatikrevun elai kol roshei shivteichem v'zikneichem. You all approached. Your elders and your leaders approached me. Vatomru, and you said, Hein heronu Hashem Elokeinu es kvodo v'es godlo v'es kolo shomanu mitoch ha'esh. Hashem has shown us His glory, His greatness. We heard His voice from the fire, and we saw that Hashem will speak to a person and he can live. But now, why should we die when this great fire consumes us? If we continue to hear the voice of Hashem, our God, any longer, we will die. For is there any human that has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You should approach and hear whatever Hashem our God will say, and you should speak to us whatever Hashem our God will speak to you, then we shall hear and we shall do. A couple more verses. Hashem heard the sound of your words when you spoke to me, and Hashem said to me, I heard the sound of the words of this people that they have spoken to you. They did well in all that they spoke. Who can assure that this heart shall remain theirs to fear me and observe all my commandments all the days, so that it should be good for them and their children forever? Go say to them, return to your tents. As for you, stand here with me, and I shall speak to you in the entire commandments and the decrees, and you shall teach them, and they shall perform in the land that I give them to possess. Okay, basic storyline. What do we have here in the account of this episode here in Devarim? What basically happens here? How about some similarities? Let's do it as follows. I'll hint you along the way, and we'll play this game. And in Parshas Yisro, in our Parsha, in verse 15, the people see the sounds of the thunder and the flames and the shofar, and they trembled and stood from afar. Do we have any similarity to that in the account giving here on the second giving of the Ten Commandments?
Here the elders approached him. They didn't go back. They came forward to Moshe.
Okay, so you're starting with the difference. Let's do the similarities first. That's what I'm thinking about. Let's do the similarities. Do we have a verse that parallels what we have in verse 15 on page 412, verse 15, where we see the entire people see the thunder and the flames and the sound of the shofar and the smoking mountain, they saw, trembled, and stood from afar. That's what it says in verse 15. Do we have any parallel verse to that?
Yeah,
19. 19 and, I guess, 20, basically, right? From the midst of the fire, the cloud, the thick cloud, the great voice, happened that when you heard it from the mountain and the fire, that you would approach me. Okay, what is the difference, though? There is one major difference.
No shofar.
Okay, there's no shofar. What else? What's the major focus of verse 15 on page, in Yisro, on page 412, 413?
Moving back.
Trembling and moving back. We find parallels in terms of the shofar, or in terms of the thunder and the smoke, but we don't see a trembling and moving back. Okay, what about, let's take a minute to the next verse, verse 16 on page 412 and 413. Verse 16, they said to Moses, "You speak to us and we shall hear. Let God not speak to us lest we die." So we have a parallel to that in the accounting on page 971, 972.
Yep.
Where is that?
I mean, they asked the elders to go forward and tell him that we don't want to hear this, lest we should die.
Right? Verse 24 seems to be an exact parallel of that. Verse 24 says, "You should approach and hear whatever Hashem will say. You should speak to us, and we will do." Right? The same idea of you should approach, you speak, we shall do. Is there any concept about dying? Is there anywhere? There's a fear of dying in the first accounting. Is there a fear of dying in the second accounting?
They say that Hashem can speak to us and we'll live, but we don't want to. We don't want to die.
Right. So it's clearly that we have that as well. Okay. Those are some of the parallels, which are pretty significant parallels to the storyline. Rashi understands. Now, those of you who are ready for the big machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban, you'll get one. Rashi understands this account in Devarim, the second account, is a fleshing out of the account that's told to us at the end of the first accounting of the Ten Commandments that takes place. This is the response of the people following the Ten Commandments. After the Ten Commandments are given, they are frightened. They are trembling, and they run backwards. And it's all one account. Parallels are there. They're both told to us immediately following the Ten Commandments. And Rashi understands the longer version is simply Moshe in Sefer Devarim, where Moshe is doing the speaking. He's telling over, in his own words, a little lengthier account of what the Torah said succinctly in four verses the first go-around. The first go-around says the people saw, trembled, ran back, said to Moshe, "We don't want it anymore." Moshe says, "Don't be afraid," and then Moshe approaches the cloud. It's just a little bit wordier here in the second accounting, but it's the same story. When does the story take place, says Rashi? After the Ten Commandments were given. That's when they feared. That's when they trembled. That's when they came to Moshe and they said, "We can't handle this anymore. This is too much. You do the talking." So that they experienced the Ten Commandments from Hashem, trembled, said, "We're going to die. We can't handle it." And therefore, they said to Moshe, "We don't want this. You do it from here on out." The two accounts are simply the different approach. One is the Torah's account in its succinct form. And then Moshe, when he tells it to the people, gives it a little bit of a lengthier version. That's how Rashi would understand these two episodes. The Ramban, however, is bothered by the various differences in these two accounts. Yes, there's some significant parallels, but there are too many differences. What are some differences that we find in the way that we are taught what happened following these two episodes? If you want to take a second and read through them again, the way that we have the shorter one on page 413, the shorter version says as follows. I'm starting with verse 15. The entire people saw the thunder and the flames, the sound of the shofar and the smoking mountain. They saw those things. They saw, trembled, stood afar. They said to Moshe, who said to Moshe?
People.
Which people? How many of the people?
All the people.
The entire people, right? The verse 15 opened up with the phrase, the entire people saw. They said to Moshe, "You speak to us and we shall hear. Let God not speak to us, lest we die." Verse 16, Moshe says to the people, "Do not fear, for in order to elevate you has God come, so that awe of him shall be upon your face, and then you shall not sin." The people stood from afar, and Moshe approached the thick cloud where Hashem was. That's the account we're given again, our first account. Now let's read the second account, and you throw out all the differences that you find as we go through the second account. Ready? 19. These words Hashem spoke to your entire congregation on the mountain. Who did Hashem speak to on the mountain?
Moshe.
Now what does it say here?
To
the entire congregation. Now is that a problem yet? I mean, that's not a problem at this point. In other words, they said that he spoke to the entire congregation. That's what...
They do use a different word. I mean, Hashem versus Ha'am. I don't know. I mean, if they... Okay. Differences to that.
I don't know enough now, so that's a fair point in the Hebrew, but let's leave that aside. That's a good point. Okay, these words Hashem spoke to your entire congregation on the mountain, from the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick cloud, a great voice never to be repeated. and he inscribed them on two stone tablets and gave them to me. Okay, that we're not told about that directly at this point in the first accounting, but that's not such a troubling thing. It happened that when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness in the mountain was burning in fire, that you, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, approached me. So who approached him the second go-around, it sounds like?
The representatives, the leaders of the Jewish
people. Right, the first one it sounded like all the people approached. In the second account it sounds like only the leaders are approaching. Mm-hmm. You said, behold, Hashem our God has shown us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice from the midst of the fire. This day we saw that Hashem will speak to a person and he can live. What in essence did they just say? How would you summarize that verse in plain English without all this tricky, you know, Torah language?
I spoke to all the people again.
And what happened?
And we lived.
And we lived. You just spoke to us. We just saw. We've been communicated by God. And we lived. But they have more to say. But now, why should we die when this great fire consumes us? If we continue to hear the voice of Hashem our God any longer, we will die. Mm-hmm. Well, how would you summarize these last two verses? What are they saying?
We heard enough. We heard 10 commandments and we don't want to hear anymore.
Right? Agree or disagree with that, right?
You can look at two ways. I mean, either like that or it was physically too difficult. Either they were rebelling or it was physically destroying them.
Okay, either way, what they're saying is, this day we just saw that Hashem has spoken to us and we lived. But now, why should we continue to hear lest we die? What did they say in the first episode?
They have no evidence that they could survive even the first.
Excellent. Verse 15, Moshe says to them, They're simply at the bottom of the mountain. They see the fire. They see the smoke. They see the shofar. They tremble. They stand back afar and they say, you speak to us. Let God not speak to us lest we die. What does that sound like they're saying?
They're stopping him. I mean, sort of stopping God.
Right? They don't... Stopping him from starting or from continuing? How would you say that? Are they stopping him from starting or from continuing?
Probably continuing.
Any other thoughts?
It looks like he hasn't even begun. Mm-hmm. They don't want that.
Right? The words seem to imply... Now, the problem is, where are we being taught this little episode? What has happened right before this?
All the show of light.
The Ten Commandments. We're reading the verses immediately following the Ten Commandments. The verses say, they said to Moshe, you speak to us and we shall not hear, let God not speak to us lest we die. Now we can read it as if they're stopping him from continuing. We also can read it as if they're saying, we're so afraid, we never want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't the understanding that we heard the first two directly?
Okay, we're going to get to that, but we need, this can be addressed even without that. Okay. But we will get to that. We will get to that. Okay, let's continue. Verse 21, back on page 9. Is this I hope it's not too confusing, the back and forth, but I don't have another way to do it. Verse 21. Oh, we did that one already, right? 22. But now, why should we die when this great fire consumes us? If we continue to hear the voice of Hashem our God any longer, we will die. Now, we touched on it, but let's just stress that. What words do they say much more clearly in verse 22 that we don't find anywhere in the first episode in Parsha Shmos? Continue. They say very clearly here in verse 22, if we continue to hear. That is not stated clearly in the verse that we just read in the first episode. They just say, let God not speak to us lest we die. 23, for is there any human that has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? This is too much. Now, they just said, well, we lived so far. But we can't handle it anymore because there hasn't been anyone who's done this and lived. You should approach and hear whatever Hashem our God will say. You should speak to us whatever Hashem our God will speak to you. Then we shall hear and we shall do.
So this is an official appointment of Moshe as the representative, and it answers your initial question. But how do we know?
Okay, we're going to get that. Also, only part of it. Correct. Here we have an official appointment in which the people say, you do it. We will hear from you what you command us. 25, two more. Hashem heard the sound of your words when you spoke to me, and Hashem said to me, I heard the sound of the words of this people that they have spoken to you. They did well in all that they spoke. Is Hashem pleased or displeased with their request to say, we don't want to hear from God anymore? He's totally happy with that. That's a fine thing. What was Moshe's response in Parsha Shmos, in Sefer Shmos, when the people tremble, run back and say, we don't want to hear from him, you talk to us. What does Moshe say? Don't be afraid. This is fine. God's doing this for good reasons. What's Hashem's response in Devarim? Yeah, like, good job, guys. That's I like that idea. A little different. Huh? Little different. Says, who can assure, verse 26, who can assure that this people should remain theirs to fear me and observe all my commandments, that it be good for them? Go say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, stand here with me, and I shall speak to you the entire commandment, the decree, the ordinance, as you shall teach them, and they shall perform the land I shall give to possess it. Okay, so in your assessment at this point, would you say that both accountings here are taught to us immediately following the Ten Commandments? Ten Commandments are said to us twice, once in Parshas Yisro, once in Parshas Va'eschanan. Parshas Yisro, at the conclusion of the Ten Commandments, we have the four verses which we're somewhat familiar with right now. Parshas Va'eschanan and Devarim, right after the Ten Commandments, a little lengthier version. Would you say these are the same accountings of the same episode, or not an accounting of the same episode?
Same
episode with various differences, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Agreement?
But there was only one time that Hashem spoke to all the people.
You're just agree with everybody else, it's safe. So you're all in line with Rashi. You're all in line, that's right. You're all in line with Rashi. Rashi says exactly what you just said. Yeah, there's some differences, but not enough to change. I mean look at the text. In both instances where the Ten Commandments are taught, this is the story that we're told afterwards, that the people fear, tremble, go back, and Moshe says not to worry. It's the same episode. When, according to Rashi, would you say this episode is taking place? Before the Ten Commandments were given, or after the Ten Commandments were given?
After.
After. Why would you say after?
That's when it's discussed.
That's when it's taught, right? Torah doesn't go out of order for no reason. So if it's taught to us after, that's what it's... So how would Rashi summarize, if you were just Rashi and he was giving a out-of-book lesson as to what took place when the Ten Commandments were given, how would Rashi describe the course of events? It would sound something like, in the days leading up to the 3 days leading up to the Ten Commandments, Hashem had various conversations with Moshe, who communicated those conversations with the people, who came back to Moshe to Hashem, back up and down the mountain he goes. Look online, you can find last year's class. We went through all the various ups and downs that Moshe went through during those last days. 5 times he goes up and down on the 3 days leading up. He teaches them the Ten Commandments. I should say that better. The people hear the Ten Commandments being taught to Moshe. They come to him afterwards and say, too much. We can't handle hearing the words of Hashem. We tremble, we fear, we recoil, we run back. Moshe says, don't be afraid. But Hashem says, no, it's good that they're afraid. It's fine. I'll talk to you from here on out. That's how Rashi would summarize what takes place. Following the Ten Commandments, the people are frightened out of their mind. What are they frightened from? Now, what does the Torah say they're frightened from? Look carefully. Well, hold off on that, though. What are they frightened from? The experience that they just had. They just heard Hashem speaking to Moshe. That would be a frightening experience. The mountain was on fire. There is clouds. There is thunder. There is lightning. And they became prophets for a moment on a very high level. They feared. They say to Moshe, we can't handle this. Moshe says, don't be afraid. But Hashem is saying at that time, it's not a bad thing. It's fine. I'll talk to you from here on out, Moshe. But they had enough. V'gam b'cho ya'aminu li'olam. They will now be able to believe in you forever because of this experience. They experienced that fear. They experienced hearing me talk to you, so that even though they can't handle that for 613 mitzvahs, they can't handle all of the Torah being given to them on that level of prophecy, but when Moshe comes down and says, this is what God told me, they'll have in their memories forever. Yeah, remember that experience the last time we heard God speak to Moshe? We got that. We didn't like it. That was too much for us, but it was real. And we know that it was real. So that when Moshe then communicates the rest, it's with the validity of a prophet who we know is a real prophet. We experienced the same prophecy that he experienced, and we, as you pointed out, appointed him to be our prophet. It's not someone coming upon us saying, I'm commanding. We told him, we can't handle it anymore. We experienced it, but we want you to do it. Yeah.
So I'm going to assume that the experience is probably a good experience.
Overall, you would say that. It was a frightening experience. Chazal say it was so frightening, in fact, that they actually died and had to be revived. But even if we leave that out and we just go with the Pasha Pshat in the text, it was one that was frightening. But a good experience in the sense of we were now given that national experience that would be passed down generation to generation of you experience God talking to Moshe. So that when Moshe then for the next 40 years teaches us things, it's with that authority. So it would be a good experience. A frightening experience, but a good experience, yeah. I don't know exactly when we said good, but...
I'm saying like they, you know, sometimes you feel bad, sometimes you feel good.
Right, this would be...
Wouldn't they prefer to be, you know, feeling good on that level?
This would be a good experience. It's that frightening experience, but a good one. In other words, it's... I don't know if you've had an experience to meet somebody, like, really important. If you ever... How many of us had a chance to meet the president or a Rosh Hashiva who was just awe-inspiring? And you're trembling because it's such a frightening experience, the person whom you're meeting, and the power that they have. But at the end of the day, you say, that was a great experience.
It takes your breath away.
Right. There's a little that frightening thing, but it's... So I don't... I need to get to the Ramban. The Ramban doesn't like this approach at all. Now, he's got to go against the fact that the verses seem to be describing a fairly similar episode, which took place after the Ten Commandments. The people were afraid. They say to Moshe, we don't want it. We're going to die. Moshe says, no problem. I'll do it from here on out. That's the basic theme that runs through both episodes. The problem, says the Ramban, is that there are too many differences when you go through the story. One more major difference that the Ramban points out, which we did not get to yet, is what do the people say they have heard in the two accounts? Okay, we mentioned the shofar in the first one. What's missing in the first account in verse 15 on page 413 that we do have in the second account on page 971? Verse 15 on page 413, the entire people saw thunder, flames, sound of the shofar, smoking mountain. Four things, thunder, flames, shofar, mountain, smoking mountain. They saw and trembled. What do we see in the beginning of verse 19?
There's no shofar in the second one.
Oh, the voice. Excellent. That's no small thing. What do they hear on page 971 in the second account that's not there? The voice of Hashem. That is a major difference. Says the Ramban, that is too major to overlook. That when the people tremble on the first account, they're only trembling from what? From the shofar, the thunder, the lightning, and the mountain. Those are all the things that describe what? If you flip back a couple of pages, that's what the scene looked like on the morning of the third day before Hashem appeared on the mountaintop. There was thunder and lightning and smoke and fire. The account that we're told of what they trembled from after the second commandments, the second time it's told to us, there's that huge difference. They heard the voice too, and they trembled. Says the Ramban, these are two separate episodes. And even though they are told to us both following the Ten Commandments, the first episode in our parsha actually took place before. And when the people got to the mountain on the morning of the third morning, that's when this episode took place. They saw the thunder and the lightning and the smoke and the mountain shuddering, and they say to Moshe, we can't do this. They say, they stood from afar, they ran back. And they said to Moshe, you speak to us and we shall hear. Let God not speak to us, lest we die. Says Ramban, they're saying, they haven't heard anything yet. But they're seeing the scene, and they're saying, this is already so trembling to us, we're backing out of here. We don't want God to speak to us. We're going to die if He does. And Moshe says to them, do not be afraid. In order to raise you up, to elevate you, God will speak to you. You can handle it. He wants you to do it. So that you shall fear Him and you shall not sin. The people stood from afar, says the Ramban. Moshe brought them closer. He goes back and describes the verses that we had earlier, which we read. He brought them. There's only so much time we have to go through all those verses. Moshe set up a boundary around the mountain. The people, he brought them closer, as the verse describes, but they wouldn't go all the way up to it. They still stood a little bit back out of their fear. But these verses, says the Ramban, are describing their approach before they ever heard anything. They were afraid. They said, we can't hear it. We can't tolerate. We're not going to be able to make it. To which Moshe says, do not be afraid. This is good for you. And he rejects their plea and brings them close. And then we get the Aseres HaDibros. Why are we taught to it in this order, says the Ramban? He says, that's simple. The Torah wants to go through in order all the things that Hashem says. So what it does is it tells the things that Hashem says to Moshe, and then it goes through the Aseres HaDibros, and then it goes back and fills in what the people had said in between. But it wants to just go through all the words of Hashem to Moshe first, and then it fills in some of the dialogue. It's a little bit of an odd, choppy structure. But says the Ramban, that's actually what took place, that this story took place beforehand. This story took place before the Ten Commandments were given, before any of the people actually heard from Hashem. They trembled and did not want to hear. Moshe says, do not be afraid. It's going to be a good thing for you to hear. The story that we're told the second time the Ten Commandments are given to us, that actually took place afterwards. And that's why the people say, we have just experienced today that people have heard the word of Hashem and lived. But let us not continue to hear, lest we die. This is a different claim, says the Ramban. Their claim after experiencing the Aseres HaDibros was one in which they said, whoa, that was powerful. We can't handle that anymore. We didn't want to hear it to begin with at all. We ran. We didn't want anything to do with this, and you forced us into it. You said, you need to hear this. Says the Ramban, Moshe told them it's not an option for you not to hear them directly from Hashem. Why did he tell it to them then before the Torah was given? Because they have to hear it directly from Hashem. Because it's a fundamental tenet of all of the future of Judaism that the masses of the people would hear directly Hashem give the Ten Commandments to Moshe. So when they tremble in fear and run, he says, do not fear, not an option. Get back here, you will listen. Then they come to him. Who comes to him the second time? The elders and the leaders, and they say, our people, we can't handle this. Too much. And this time Hashem says, well spoken. That was the plan always. You were never intended to hear more than this. That's fine. Moshe will now be the messenger for the rest. But you had to have that experience. You had to go through those first commandments, hearing them directly from me, because that's a fundamental pillar upon which everything will stay forever. V'gam b'cho ya'aminu li olam, in order to believe in you forever, but now that it's over, now I will speak directly to Moshe, and he will have the authority to communicate with you, and you will know that what he's saying is true.
Does Rashi address that the difference between the voice and that?
He does not address that. I don't know what he would say about that. I imagine he would just simply say, you know, the Torah doesn't repeat the exact same thing. This is clearly a longer version, but he wasn't troubled by that.
Even the text of the Aseres HaDibros themselves
have some differences. Right. So he just wants to say it wasn't enough for a reason for him to make... Notice what the Ramban is doing is he's... Whenever you say that the Torah is written out of order, you really need to justify why. Because in essence what he's doing is he's saying when you read our Parsha, Parshas Yisro, and you just read through this as you're going to go through on Shabbos, and you read through, chapter 19 is going to describe clearly the 3 days leading up to the giving of the Ten Commandments. The back and forth, the dialogue, various dialogues between Moshe and Hashem. It's fascinating. If you don't remember last year's shiur, when I remember preparing it, was just fascinating actually going through what takes place during each one of the levels of their dialogue, each day beforehand. How many times Moshe goes up and down and up and down. That's all chapter 19. Chapter 20 are the Ten Commandments. And then following the Ten Commandments, the Ramban says, is a discussion that the people had had back in chapter 19, in which they said, we're so afraid we don't want to hear from Hashem. And Moshe says, too bad, don't be afraid, get back here and listen up. When the same dialogue takes place in Sefer Devarim, when Moshe is telling us over what took place, and he says, remember the conversations we had, and remember the Ten Commandments, and remember how you approached me and you said too much, that conversation is actually taking place after the Ten Commandments. These are two totally separate episodes. There it's only the leaders who come to me and say a different claim. They're not saying we're afraid from hearing. They're saying too much. We heard already. We can't take it anymore. To which Hashem says, that I'm happy with. He doesn't respond there saying, too bad, get back here. There he says, that's right. That's good. That's what I want. This was my intention that you hear 10 and no more. Go back to your tents. Moshe will hear the rest. But you will now be ingrained and imbued with that experience that will allow you to now believe in Moshe forever when he communicates my desires to you. You will know, well, this Moshe is no quack. We experienced the Ten Commandments. We saw the fire. We saw the mountain. We saw the smoke. We heard the voice. Now, Rick's question. From this it would seem the Jewish people experienced the Ten Commandments. They heard and saw them all. There's a well-known statement by the sages, which you mentioned, which I'll show you inside where they got it from, very, very quickly. If you look at the first, flip to page 407, 406, 407. We'll just read a little bit in English. You answer the following questions. I'm about to read verses 1, 2, and 1 and 2. Who is the speaker in these verses? God spoke all these statements saying, I am Hashem, your God, who has taken you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. Who is the speaker?
Hashem.
How do you know that?
I.
Correct. Verse 3. Who is the speaker? You shall not recognize the gods of others in my presence. You shall not make yourself a carved image and likeness of the heavens. Blah, blah, blah. You shall not prostrate yourself to them or worship them, for I am Hashem, your God, a jealous God, a visitless and a father. Blah, blah. Who is the speaker?
God.
Verse 7. This is number 3 of the Ten Commandments. You shall not take the name of Hashem, your God, in vain, for Hashem will not absolve anyone who takes his name in vain. Who is the speaker? Right, but who's right? It's clearly going to be Moshe. Right? So the sages picked up on this. They didn't even need my intonations where I focus on the I. And, you know, they got it on their own. They were just reading it and they picked up on it. That's what makes them so smart. So the sages say, clearly, based on the text, that the first two of the Ten Commandments were actually said by Hashem to the people, but the other 8 were said by Moshe. So the Ramban is a little bit troubled by this, because aside from the fact that he brings other scriptural references which seems to say that all 10 were said by God, we just built a whole structure that it was the first 10, it was after the first 10 that the people come and they say it's too much, before they even when they were, it seems like it was all from Hashem himself, yeah.
Listen to the scenario, God's giving it over to Moshe. Let's say the third one. Does God say to Moshe, you shall not take my name in vain?
Mm-hmm.
And Moshe turns to the people who says, and you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. You know, so does God give it to Moshe in first person, and Moshe turns around and delivers it in third person?
That's a good question. I'm not sure how to answer that. I would imagine that he gave it in, the way that we have it in the Torah is probably the way that Hashem said it to Moshe to say to them, but I'm not sure about that. That would be my guess. That's my guess, but I don't know that for sure. But maybe we can even answer that. You know the Ramban explains what happened here? The Ramban says a fascinating thing. The Ramban says the Jewish people were supposed to have heard the words of Hashem directly for the first 10. Because this is an experience that we as a people needed to have. After that, when they say too much, Hashem says, that's right. I didn't want any more than that. But you needed to have this. So what are they? What is? What about this idea that it seems clear that only two were actually said, and the back eight were said by Moshe? Ramban says a fascinating thing. He says as follows. The first two, and I'll read you his words inside because they're so magnificent. Bivadai shekol aseres hadibros shomu kol Yisrael mipi Elokim kipshuto shel kosov. The entire Ten Commandments were heard by the Jewish people directly from Hashem's mouth, as the psukim, the simple meaning of the verses seem to imply, and he quotes various psukim which all seem to imply that. Aval, the Shnei Hadibros HaRishonos, the first two, Hayu Shoimim Hadibor Umevinim Osomimenu. The people heard and understood Ka'asher Yovin Osam Moshe, exactly as Moshe understood it as well. They heard and perceived the words and understood it. Al-Kain Yidaber Imoyim Ka'asher Yidaber Ha'odon Al-Avdo, so that Hashem spoke to Moshe in the same way that he would speak to everyone, and everybody understood the same words. Umikan ve'elech, but from that point on, Yishmu'u kol hadibor, the people heard the sound of the voice, ve'lo yavinu oso. Couldn't understand it. They had dropped from that level of prophecy in which they were able to perceive the words, and it became, there's a communication happening between God and Moshe, but we're not picking it up. Ve'yitztarech Moshe letargeim lohem, called Dibor Vidibor Achiavinu Osomi Moshe. Moshe then had to translate and explain to them until they understood from Moshe. Says the Ramban, there were two levels. Each one of them was an experience that the people had of a direct communication from Hashem. Just that the first two, they heard Hashem speak. They heard Him. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. They heard and perceived, understood those words, I am Hashem, your God. Do not have any other gods in my face. But 3 through 10, those last 8, they heard the communication between Hashem and Moshe. They perceived it was taking place. They couldn't make out the words. Their level of prophecy was such, they weren't able to handle it. They couldn't get it. So that Moshe then had to explain and translate what those were. Vishar kol ha-mitzvah, says the Ramban, that the people would demand, and they would say, we can't take any of this. This is too much for us. Can't handle it. You talk to him, we'll hear it from you. Three levels of communication, says the Ramban, in how the Torah was communicated to the Jewish people. In answer to the question that every religion has to address, how do we know what we have is accurate? Says the Ramban, because 3 million people heard the first two of Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Velo Yelecho Elohim Acherim, I am Hashem your God, you may not have any other God. They actually, all 3 million of them, heard, understood those words directly from Hashem as He spoke them to Moshe. They saw that happening. They heard it. And they were frightened out of their minds.
If they hadn't gone back, they would have heard the rest.
Unclear. That I can't answer. I don't know. Chazal say they died. Their neshamas were so attracted like a magnet to the level of Kedusha that was present that it, like, bodies, we can't handle bodies right now, and their neshamas were just like drawn out of their bodies to cleave to the spirituality of the presence of Hashem. So that after two of those times, Hashem said, well, this isn't working very well. So He lowered the level of prophecy. But says the Ramban, but it still was such where they perceived there was a communication happening between the divine and between Moshe. They couldn't make out the words, they couldn't understand it, Moshe had to explain it. And they come to Him afterwards and they say, too much! Even this we can't handle any longer, we're going to die if we continue to hear this. And Hashem says, that's fine, that's what I wanted. From here on out, I will speak only to Moshe, but because of this experience that you had, when Moshe then communicates my will to you over the next 40 years, you will know that what he's communicating is true and accurate. Because you will have heard yourselves, Anochli Hashem Elokecha Asher Hosei Sichem Le'Eretz Mitzrayim. And that is a claim no one else can make. No one else can make. Now, we are also not making a claim that all 613 were heard by the Jewish people. The claim that the Torah is making is accurate is that the first two we all heard. I am your God, you may not have any others. The other eight, we were prophets on the level of perceiving a communication. Moshe had to translate them. And then the other 605 were Moshe just teaching them to us with the validity, authority, and veracity of the fact that we had experienced the first two. That's how the Ramban understands these psukim. Yeah.
Also, to add to that, we have to accept that we voluntarily accept upon ourselves, Moshe, we want you. Okay, it's not just that we heard Hashem's voice, but you know, again, we're voluntary. So, you know, Moshe, we're hereby accepting you as our official.
Correct, like what Paul was saying. That is, we said you do it. We're going to stay back here, right? It was their initiative. Correct. Yeah.
Does Rashi agree with that? About with the do most commentators agree on the fact that we heard?
So that part I don't know. The Chazal say that. That's a Gemara in Maseches Makos and elsewhere that the first two were said by Hashem, and the other. And it's clear in the text that the speaker clearly changes from first person Hashem speaking to third person or Moshe speaking about Hashem.
So there isn't much dispute about
that. So that is clear. What the Ramban to me, when I first saw that, was news to me. I thought that all of the back eight were Hashem to Moshe to the people, and the Ramban's adding that, no, all ten were that experience where the people were sensing there was a prophecy going on, just that they couldn't understand it. And then, so then the Ramban had three levels. He had Hashem directly to Moshe, and the people understood and saw. Hashem to Moshe, we knew that something was going on, we couldn't understand it, and then Hashem Moshe from him to the people. That's how he understands these psukim. But just a fascinating read in terms of how the Ramban understands what was taking place during during this time.
There's something that is interesting about the Ten Commandments is that the first two, as everyone agrees, are a matter of belief, of trust and belief.
Mm-hmm.
And there they were prophetic in understanding that. The regression occurred when the next eight asked them to do something so that there's a human quality that enters into it that is perhaps resistant.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Also, if you go through the whole rest of Tanakh and you look at what's going to happen later, you'll have kings that are wicked and they put idols and they're rejecting, you know, the authority of, you know, rejecting a lot of stuff. Nobody, even the most wicked one, is going to come and make a statement that the signage didn't happen.
Right. I had a Rebbe in Israel, he used to always say during all of Tanakh, when you see the Jewish people and kings doing everything, one thing that you never find is someone who denies God. You will not want to follow, you will rebel against, but you don't find people saying things that we find in today's world of there is no God. You couldn't say that. It was just absurd to say that, because we would take you to the base and make Christian and say, look, there he is. You'd see him, you'd experience him. We still had this national tradition, which was much fresher than it is today. And that's right. So people may have rebelled, but to deny that, you didn't have.
Where's the Naaseh v'Nishma part? Because the second part we read in Devarim, it says, well, Shamanu v'Asinu.
Right.
So where's the original?
So the original Naaseh v'Nishma is leading up to, it's in, let's see if we can find it. I think it might actually
come later.
It does come later. It comes in the second accounting. It does. In Kisisa, maybe?
I think so.
This is a whole study. I've long desired, one of the projects in my mind that I always want to do is give like a six-part series going through Kabbalah Satorah. Like, it would take 6-7 hours to actually go through, it must be 50 verses. It's probably closer to 100 because it's 50 verses just in Shmos. And then we have a repeat in Devarim, and you have like what we did today, in which the Ramban says they don't exactly line up, they're actually separate events, and working through as a class, you know, in depth, where did everything fit in, what's the timeline, what's the chronology, where are the different Rishonim and their approaches, and how, that's always been like in my back of my mind of like, that's a project that I want to do. That's a great question, like in terms of, when you paint this big picture, when was that said? We have all these days and all these conversations, and it's Shuas time, yeah. This year I promised Kain Vehevel, because it's a follow. Last year we did the Garden of Eden. This year I promised we're going to do, you guys will do.